Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind podcast. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of total transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into this podcast. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects of listening to this podcast may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
Oh, Bob Marley said life is one big road with lots of signs. So when you're riding through the ruts, don't complicate your mind. Flee from hate, mischief, and jealousy. Don't bury your thoughts. Put your vision to reality. Wake up and live. What's up, money makers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, DA, and you're on the Think and Grow Rich call. Our talented founder, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be with us shortly, but for now, tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, Mahara.
Good morning, Texas.
Good morning, Larry and Wendy. And was that another Texas caller?
Yeah, Bill Moist.
Hey, Bill Moist. Hey, Larry. Hey, Wendy. Texas is on fire this morning.
Always.
Aloha from Arkansas, my dear.
Hey, Elliot. Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Good
morning, Minnesota.
Good morning, Minnesota. Is that right?
That's yes. Right.
How are you this morning?
Perfect. Nearly.
Oh, I love that answer. Perfect. Things are always
morning,
perfect
Mahara.
If you'll let
Amy
it be.
In Las Vegas.
Hey, Amy. Good morning, love. How are you?
Doing awesome. How are you?
I'm doing awesome as well.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Adele from Long Island, New York.
Good morning, lovely Adele. We're glad you're here.
Good morning.
Mark Matthews, California.
A cacophony of wealth and wonder. Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Rick in Salt Lake.
Hey, Rick in Salt Lake. Good morning. Welcome.
Good. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Good morning, everyone. Isabel, Florida.
Hey, Isabel. Good morning. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Jamie from Jersey.
Hey, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
I am so excited. It's Fruition Friday, and I just know we're going to do something great.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome.
Good morning. Who else is in that vibe this morning?
Good morning, Evan Scoresby from Utah.
Evan, what's happening?
Oh, what's up?
Great to have you on the call.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Chanel in Colorado.
Hi, lovely Chanel. Good morning.
Good morning. Herbert Green from New York.
Evergreen?
Herbert.
You're soft-spoken. I've missed you twice. I'll try to get it right, man. I'm so glad you're with us.
Right. Good morning, Mahara. It's Elise in Atlanta.
Hey, Elise. Good morning.
Happy early in Idaho.
Hey, Kathy.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
This is Bell from Florida.
Good morning in Florida. We're so glad you're here.
Thank you. Good morning, Mahara. It's Vera in California.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the call.
Good morning,
good morning, Mahara.
I hear Florida. I hear Manuel. Welcome to the call. Good morning. We're so glad you're here.
Good morning, Mahara.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Jacksonville.
Hey, Andre. What's happening?
Doing great.
Good morning. Welcome to the call. It is so amazing to have you guys connecting with the energy, getting focused, getting ready to mastermind. I'm excited.
Good morning, Mahara from Detroit City.
Good morning in Detroit.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. Good morning, Mahara. Lisa Scott, New Jersey.
Hey, Lisa Scott. How are you, beautiful?
I'm awesome. How about you?
I'm awesome too. Yay!
Sacramento, Sheila. Good morning, everybody, and Mahara.
Good morning, sunshine.
Good morning.
We're glad you're here.
Good morning. It's Jerry from Ontario.
Hey, how are you this morning in Ontario?
Just awesome, and can't wait to listen to another great call.
Me too.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Charity from Bronx, New York.
Hi, Charity. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, Thinking Grow Rich family, all of you wonderful, fired up, passionate, pumped up entrepreneurs dialing in from various locations all throughout the world. I'm excited you're here. I'm really grateful that you made a decision to pick up the phone this morning and plug into the Thinking Grow Rich family to get some energy, to get some enthusiasm, and also to get some education, to learn more about the laws of success, to learn more about how the human mind works, to learn more about harmony and how we can function together better in groups, to go forth and do great things in the world. That's what we've got in store for us today. And it is fantastic, fabulous, fired up Friday the 13th. So good stuff, guys. I'm glad to be here. Glad you're here. And I want to know here as we start the call, is there anyone out there in Think and Grow Rich land who's excited about life? Is there anyone out there in Think and Grow Rich land who's excited about freedom and developing more freedom in his or her life? Is there anyone out there in Think and Grow Rich land who's infinitely and internally grateful for this incredible gift that we have called life, and this gift that goes right along with this gift of life, this gift that we all have called choice, right? Where we can choose what we want to do today. We can choose what we want to learn. We can choose. We can make better choices. We can do things in life. We can do things in business. We can choose a different path. If we want to choose a different path, the path today doesn't have to be the exact same as yesterday, right? We can do things a little bit different. We can try things. We can succeed. We can fall down every once in a while. We can learn from our falls, and we can get up, and we can keep moving. But you know what? Through choice, my friends, I always get excited when I think about choice, because the fact that we can choose, I believe, means also that we can choose to great extent the result. The fact that we can choose, to me, means also that we can choose what our futures look like. Never forget, Jim Rohn said, if you don't like where you are, change it. You're not a tree, right? Isn't that true? We're not trees. We're people. If we don't like where we're at, we can change it. Just like back in the day when I was working a corporate job, experiencing things that I didn't like, feeling like I was being put in a box and I wasn't able to live my potential and just pour out my passion in the way that I wanted to pour it out. As a matter of fact, I remember one of my bosses back in the day, in a job interview, asked me, says, Paul, what's your greatest assets? You know how they do in these job interviews. Like, tell me about your, and so what do? Usually you just make stuff up, right? No, I'm just kidding. But I remember I think I'm passionate. I think that's one of my passions. And he said, okay, all right. And then we get to the end of the interview, and he says, all right, Paul, well, you don't get the promotion. And he says, by the way, are you open to some feedback? And I said, sure. And he looks at me, and he kind of points his finger, I think, in my imagination, that's how I remember it going down. And he said, Paul, he goes, you don't have passion. He says, I know you think you do. He goes, but you don't. And then he says, do you want to see someone who has passion? And he says, stand up. And there was this glass window around the office that we were in, and he points out to one of my coworkers, and he says, that guy right there, his name is Jared. I remember he says that. He goes, Jared, he has passion. He goes, if you want to learn how to have passion, he says, you can watch Jared. And I remember walking out of that office, and And I remember having the choice at that moment to feel down and depressed, and I had the choice to accept what that other human being wanted to. I had the choice to accept the label that other human being wanted to put on me, who was in a position of authority, who was in a position of superiority. He wanted to tell me that I didn't have passion, and I had a choice to accept that, or I had a choice to say, you know what, that's a bunch of bull crap, right? And that's what I did. I said, that's bull. I said, I don't accept that. I don't accept what that guy has to say about me and my life and my potential. No, I do have passion. And I chose on that day to continue believing in myself and to continue believing that I did have passion. And you know what? We all on this call, and really everyone, right? We all have the ability to choose. We have the ability to choose what thoughts we allow to enter our minds. We have the ability to choose what sorts of people we allow to enter into our space, into our environment. We have the ability to choose what actions we take, right? I didn't like my job back then because of stuff like that. Well, I could have chosen to stay at a place I didn't like, but you know what? I chose to do something different. I chose to start a home-based business. And I chose to stick with it. Took quite a long time, right? Had a lot of failures, had a few years of ups and downs. But you know what? I wanted freedom. I chose freedom. I said, I will have freedom. Even if it means maybe I earn a little bit less than I would in the corporate world, I choose freedom. And I'm so glad that I did. Yesterday, it was around 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. I had the opportunity to walk outside into the living room, and my wonderful wife, Corrine, whom I love very, very much, she was making a breakfast, and my two oldest kids were at school. My two little ones are home, and she says, Paul, do you want some breakfast? And I'm like, yeah, right? So I sat down. It was like 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. My two little guys got a little guy named Cashton and another one named Kyson, 4 and 2. They sat there at the dinner table with Dad and Mom, and we had breakfast together. And as I was sitting there having breakfast with my kids and my wife at 10:30 in the morning, I had the thought, and it was, you know what, no amount of job money in the world could ever buy this treasure for me that I'm experiencing right now of being with my family. Being with my family and having freedom on this day, doing what it is that I want to do versus doing what it is that another human being places on me and says, you must do this, you must be here, you must check out here. When you need to go to the bathroom, you must ask for permission. When you want to go on vacation, you must ask for permission, right? No more for me, right? Because I made a decision a number of years ago that I was going to choose freedom and that I was going to fight for it for as long as it took. And you know what? I believe that little thought right there unites all of us on this call. I believe all of us on this call have chosen freedom or are in the process of choosing freedom. We're moving forward in life, developing more freedom financially, developing more freedom emotionally, mentally, as we learn the laws of success, as we learn how to control our thoughts. You guys realize that a great amount of freedom comes from that, being able to choose what happens inside our own minds. We're going to learn more about that today. But anyway, I just wanted to say on this Freedom Friday, we'll call it Freedom Friday, that I love freedom. I am grateful for freedom. If there's one thing that I will not be ashamed of preaching all my life, when I get to the end of my days and I look back over the course of my life and I see that I stood for freedom, I enjoyed freedom, I told other people about freedom, I encouraged other people to tell other people about freedom, that they could be free and that they deserve to be free if they were willing to learn what it takes to be free. And when I think about that, looking over my life at the end of my days, I'm like, man, what better life could I live than to live in freedom and to teach other people about freedom and to celebrate freedom with groups of people like we're doing on this call this morning. So my friends, on this Freedom Friday, I want to know, are you excited about freedom? Are you pumped up for freedom? Are you grateful for freedom, and are you excited to develop more of it in your life? And if you are, I want to hear you screaming to the lion on this Freedom Friday as I unmute the lions right now.
Freedom.
alone. It's like we are united in those thoughts and feelings and emotions and passions, right? We've got passion. I tell you what, we've got passion on this call. So, guys, I'm grateful to be here. And you know what? If you're new to the call, you're in for a treat. Let me just say that. You're in for a treat. This is something that we as a community have been doing now for almost 5 years. I think we're like 4.5 years or so, something like that. Every day, Monday through Friday, we come together to learn how to be more free. And we are going to learn. There's going to be some great lessons today that we're going to learn. But if you're new to the call, and you don't have a method of generating freedom in your life, and when I say freedom, I'm specifically talking about right now financial freedom. There's this thing called pipeline money. As a matter of fact, last night, real quick, I was talking to my my 8-year-old son. He was going to bed, and we were just talking about, you know, different things, and he wanted me to tell him a story. And so I told him the story of the pipeline, right? The village, many of you may have heard this. There's this village up in the mountains, and the village runs out of water, and a couple of different ideas come up for the solution to this problem. One of them is there's this dad, and he says, well, I'm going to take my sons, and there's a lake about a mile away from the village, and we're going to get these buckets, so we're going to go pack these buckets. So they start packing buckets back and forth, back and forth. It's back-breaking labor, it's sweaty, right? They're getting dust in the water as they're coming up the trail, you know, to the village. But it works. They're bringing water to the village, and it works for the time being. Well, there's another individual, this lady, who's like, well, I've got a better idea. And she says to herself, she goes, I'm going to disappear for about a year. So she disappears, and she goes, and she gathers up some engineers. She gathers together some investors. She gathers together, a construction crew. And then she comes back about a year later, and she's got this whole team of people that come back, and they build this stainless steel pipeline from the lake that was a mile or two away from the village to the village. And instantly, once that pipeline is built, the village now has 24/7 fresh, clean, sparkling drinking water on demand. No dirt, right? It just comes straight, and it pumps continuously. And the bucket packers are out of business. And I told that story to my 8-year-old last night as he was laying in bed, right? And then I was asking him, you know, what are the lessons here, son? And he came up with some ideas, and we kind of talked back and forth. And one of the lessons is, in life, if you can, you want to do your best to build pipelines. You want to do your best to build things that are going to last, right? And I talked to my son about, you know, the job, when I used to have a job, and how it was like I would go to work and I would carry these buckets and I would be there for the day, and they would fill my buckets with that day's worth of money, and then I would go back home and I would have that. And then if I stopped packing the buckets, and I asked my son this question, what happens if Dad would have stopped packing the buckets? And he said, well, the money would have stopped. And I'm like, that's right, but what about the pipeline? If you've got a pipeline of income coming into your life, you don't have to pack buckets because the pipeline does the work, right? And so that's one of the ways that we can get freedom in our lives is we build pipelines. And how do we build pipelines? Well, Robert Kiyosaki teaches this. We build pipelines by building businesses, systems, organizing teams of people that once built and put together, it's a pipeline for us, right? And then we take that money, which is one form of pipeline money, and we invest it in geese that lay golden eggs, rental properties, other types of assets where we can put the money in one time, we buy the goose one time, and then that goose continues for the rest of our lives to pop out golden eggs over and over and over and over again. So we got other pipelines, right? So if you do not have a way of generating pipeline income in your life right now, I would encourage you to get back to the person who invited you to this call and just ask them, what are you doing for pipeline money? And you never know where that conversation could lead. And then also while you're at it, ask them to add you into our Think and Grow Rich Facebook group, because we've got a great mastermind of people gathered together on Facebook where you can kind of get to know and network the other members of this call. So, guys, with that, thank you for indulging me. Let's go ahead and go through our definite major purpose self-confidence formula. Is there someone out there who has that ready? *6, pop out if you've got that and would like to lead us through that this morning.
Hey, Paul, it's Elise.
Hey, lady. Lindsay Leonard. How are you this morning?
I am awesome, sir. Hutchings, how are you?
Better now that I hear your voice. I love it.
Bless you. Let me get you off speaker.
How's that? Is that better?
Perfect.
All right. By the first day of, I will have in my possession $1 million worth of monthly residual income, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this money, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and best quality of service in the capacity of. I believe I will have this money in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this money before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render for it. I am awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this money, and I will follow that plan when it is received. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the objects of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action towards its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily, thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of auto-suggestion, any desire I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the vision I hold. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to the development of my self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying until I have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction that does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use, and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism and doubt by developing love for all humanity because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become a self-reliant and successful person. O divine providence, I ask not for more riches but more wisdom with which to make wiser use of the riches you gave me at birth, consisting in the power to control my own mind to whatever ends I might desire. Amen.
Amen, Elise. I got to tell you, my friend, hold on one second. I love a lot of things about what you just shared. Number one, I heard you say $1 million a month residual income. Now, I don't know if that's a real goal that you have or if it's just something that you threw out there, but one thing I do know is that it has been done in the world before, right? It has been done in the world. People have generated those types of incomes. And I want to give you, Elise, and everyone else on the line, a little nugget that I heard on a conference call this week. Here it is. What's possible in the world, possible for me, it's just a question of how. I'm going to repeat that. Possible in the world, possible for me, it's just a question of how. And Elise, I for one believe that you have the ability to hit whatever goal you set up in your own mind. I believe in you. I believe in your communication abilities. I believe in your passion. I believe in your persistence. And my friends, if you believe in Elise, let's go ahead and express your belief and our belief into her. See, Elise, that's the sound of an army of people who all believe in you and who have just told you, Elise, you go and you get it. You do it, release. You've got it inside of you. Go and get it done. So thank you for that. And thank you guys for being such an awesome group of people. All right, guys, let's get into it. Let's get to work, right? Let's get to our study, right? We are in the Law of Success, page 85 of 1170. If you don't have this book, you can get it on our website, growrichaudios.com. And we're starting here called, and it's going to be very interesting and fascinating, The Psychology of the Revival Meeting. Okay, interesting stuff here. The old religious orgy, known as the revival, offers a favorable opportunity to study the principles of mind chemistry known as mastermind. It will be observed that music plays no small part in bringing about the harmony essential to the blending of a group of minds in a revival meeting. Without music, the revival meeting would be a tame affair. During revival services, the leader of the meeting has no difficulty in creating harmony in the minds of his devotees. But it is a well-known fact that this state of harmony lasts no longer than the presence of the leader, after which the mastermind he has temporarily created disintegrates. By arousing the emotional nature of his followers, the revivalist has no difficulty under the proper stage setting and with the embellishment of the right sort of music in creating a mastermind, which becomes noticeable to all who come in contact with it. The very air becomes charged with a positive, pleasing influence, which changes the entire chemistry of all minds present. And I want to ask everyone, have you ever been in a situation like that, right? In a meeting, in a church setting, in a company convention, right, where the feeling and the word that comes to mind is palpable, right? Where the feeling in the room and the feeling amongst the people is so thick that it's palpable. It's like you can feel it, right? Have you ever been in a situation like that? So that's kind of what Dr. Hill, I think, is talking about here. The revivalist, he says, calls this energy the Spirit of the Lord. This author, through experiments conducted with a group of scientific investigators and laymen who were unaware of the nature of the experiment, has created the same state of mind and the same positive atmosphere without calling it the Spirit of the Lord. On many occasions, this author has witnessed the creation of the same positive atmosphere in a group of men and women engaged in the business of salesmanship without calling it the Spirit of the Lord. The author helped conduct a school of salesmanship for Harrison Parker, founder of the Cooperative Society of Chicago, and by use of the same principle of mind chemistry, which the revivalist calls the Spirit of the Lord, so transformed the nature of a group of 3,000 men and women, all of whom were without former sales experience, that they sold more than $10 million worth of securities in less than 9 months and earned more than $1 million for themselves. And please stay with us, right, because he's definitely not putting down the term the Spirit of the Lord, so please stay with us because there's another comment here further on that we all want to get to. So it was found that the average person who joined this school would reach the zenith of his or her selling power within 1 week, after which it was necessary to revitalize the individual's brain through a group sales meeting. These sales meetings were conducted on very much the same order as are the modern revival meetings of the religionist, with much the same stage equipment, including music and high-powered speakers, who exhorted the salespeople in very much the same manner as does the modern religious revivalist. Call it religion, psychology, mind chemistry, or anything you please. They are all based upon the same principle, but there is nothing more certain than the fact that wherever a group of minds are brought into contact in a spirit of perfect harmony, each mind in the group becomes immediately supplanted and reinforced by a noticeable energy called a mastermind. For all this writer professes to know, this uncharted energy may be the Spirit of the Lord, but it operates just as favorably when called by any other name. The human brain and nervous system constitute a piece of intricate machinery which but few, if any, understand. When controlled and properly directed, this piece of machinery can be made to perform wonders of achievement. And if not controlled, it will perform wonders fantastic and phantom-like in nature, as may be seen by examining the inmates of any insane asylum. The human brain has direct connection with a continuous influx of energy from which man derives his power to think. The brain receives this energy, mixes it with the energy created by the food taken into the body, and distributes it to every portion of the body through the aid of the blood and the nervous system, and thus becomes what we call life. From what source this outside energy comes, no one seems to know. All we know about it is that we must have it or die. It seems reasonable to suppose that this energy is none other than that which we call ether, and that it flows into the body along with the oxygen from the air as we breathe. Every normal human body possesses a first-class chemical laboratory and a stock of chemicals sufficient to carry on the business of breaking up, assimilating, and properly mixing and compounding this food that we take into the body, preparatory to distributing it to wherever it is needed as a bodybuilder. Ample tests have been made both with man and beast to prove that the energy known as the mind plays an important part in this chemical operation of compounding and transforming food into the required substances to build and keep the body in repair. It is known that worry, excitement, or fear will interfere with the digestive process and, in extreme cases, stop this process altogether, resulting in illness or death. It is obvious, then, that the mind enters into the chemistry of food digestion and distribution. It is believed by many eminent authorities, although it may never have been scientifically proved, that the energy known as mind or thought may become contaminated with negative or unsociable units to such an extent that the whole nervous system is thrown out of working order. Digestion is interfered with, and various and sundry forms of disease will manifest themselves. Financial difficulties and unrequited love affairs head the list of causes of such mind disturbances. A negative environment, such as that existing where some member of the family is constantly nagging, will interfere with the chemistry of the mind to such an extent that the individual will lose ambition and gradually sink into oblivion. It is because of this fact that the old saying that a man's wife may either make or break him is literally true. In a subsequent lesson, a whole chapter on this subject is addressed to the wives of men. Any high school student knows that certain food combinations will, if taken into the stomach, result in indigestion, violent pain, and even death. Good health depends, in part at least, upon the food combination that harmonizes. But harmony of food combinations is not sufficient to ensure good health. There must be harmony also between the units of energy known as the mind. Harmony seems to be one of nature's laws, without which there can be no such thing as organized energy or life in any form whatsoever. And there's a quote here on the preceding page that I want to read. He says, "A man is half whipped the minute he begins to feel sorry for himself or to spin an alibi with which he would explain away his defects." Continuing on, "The health of the body as well as the mind is literally built around, out of, and upon the principle of harmony. The energy known as life begins to disintegrate and death approaches when the organs of the body stop working in harmony. The moment harmony ceases at the source of any form of organized energy, power, the units of that energy are thrown into a chaotic state of disorder, and the power is rendered neutral or passive. Harmony is also the nucleus around which the principle of mind chemistry known as a mastermind develops power. Destroy this harmony and you destroy the power growing out of the coordinated effort of a group of individual minds. This truth has been stated, restated, and presented in every manner which the author could conceive with unending repetition. He knows what he's doing to us, guys, right? I mean, we're still in the introduction of this book, haven't even gotten into the 15 laws, and he's just been twisting and turning and poking from every which way and angle this principle that he's trying to get across, and he knows it, right? Dr. Hill says, he says it's been stated and restated and presented in every manner with which he could conceive with unending repetition for the reason that unless the student grasps this principle and learns to apply it, this lesson is useless. Success in life, no matter what one may call success, is very largely a matter of adaptation to environment in such a manner that there is harmony between the individual and his environment. The palace of a king becomes as a hovel of a peasant if harmony does not abound within its walls. Conversely stated, the hut of a peasant may be made to yield more happiness than that of the mansion of the rich man if harmony obtains in the former and not in the latter. Without perfect harmony, the science of astronomy would be as useless as the bones of a saint, because the stars and planets would clash with one another, and all would be in a state of chaos and disorder. Without the law of harmony, an acorn might grow into a heterogeneous tree consisting of the wood of the oak, poplar, maple, and whatnot. Without the law of harmony, the blood might deposit the food, which grows fingernails on the scalp, where hair is supposed to grow, and thus create a horny growth, which might easily be mistaken by the superstitious to signify man's relationship to a certain imaginary gentleman with horns, often referred to by the more primitive type. Without the law of harmony, there can be no organization of knowledge, for what, may one ask, is organized knowledge except the harmony of facts and truths and natural laws? The moment discord begins to creep in at the front door, harmony edges out at the back door, so to speak. Whether the application is made to a business partnership or the orderly movement of the planets of the heavens. If the student gathers the impression that the author is laying undue stress upon the importance of harmony, let it be remembered that lack of harmony is the first and often the last and only cause of failure. There can be no poetry, nor music, nor oratory worthy of notice without the presence of harmony. Good architecture is largely a matter of harmony. Without harmony, a house is nothing but a mass of building material, more or less a monstrosity. Sound business management plants the very sinews of its existence in harmony. Every well-dressed man or woman is a living picture and moving example of harmony. With all these workaday illustrations of the important part which harmony plays in the affairs of the world, nay, in the operation of the entire universe, how could any intelligent person leave harmony out of his definite aim in life, as well have no definite aim as to omit harmony as the chief stone of its foundation? So, my friends, I think that's a great place for us to stop. We've got some good stuff to chew on. You know, I, for one, have been paying attention more to harmony in lots of areas of my life. With my team, right? With my personal network marketing team that I'm working on developing. With my mastermind partner, I've been paying a lot more attention to harmony. Been paying more attention to harmony with my family and my children, and how can I create a better state of harmony in my environment, in my home. I've also been paying attention to harmony with life and just with the world around, right? And I think maybe this is one of the reasons we're always encouraged to meditate and to take 30 minutes a day and just tune in and get in a state of harmony with things and with wherever we're at in life, right? I remember in PsychoCybernetics, in fact, I was talking to my friend yesterday, Maxwell Maltz talks about how we must be in a state of relaxation, he says. He says you've got to relax in order to really tap into the unconscious mind. And I thought about that in relation to this principle of harmony. And I wonder if there is a relation, right? Discord, stress, being too high strung, maybe that's getting ourselves out of harmony and relaxing, taking a deep breath, just being calm and just being in tune and just starting to harmonize with whatever is going on around us, according to Maxwell Maltz, puts us in a state where we can connect with the infinite mind, right, in a little bit better way. So this topic of harmony really is fascinating to me, and I think it is, it seems to be a powerful, powerful lesson that we can apply in many, many areas of our lives, and I'm excited to hear where you're applying it, and also I'm excited to hear what stuck out to you about the information that we've covered today. So keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call. So please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless the leaders are a part of our community. And as always, brevity and relevance appreciated in your comments so we can let everyone who wants to come out and share. One moment. Star 6, who's first?
Hi, Paul. Lisa Scott.
Hey, hey, Lisa Scott. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm feeling the harmony, Paul. I love it. I'm riding down the road. It's sunny. It's beautiful. And I love this chapter. As you were talking, I was reminded of some experiences I've had in the past where I used to teach something called process improvement in one of the largest healthcare organizations here in Southeast New Jersey. And process improvement was a mandatory training with the healthcare system that I worked for. And your evaluation, your money was affected or impacted in terms of if you did not go through this training, not going to get a raise, your evaluation was going to be impacted the whole time. So as you can imagine, when the staff is feeling like they are required or something is mandatory that they go through, initially their feeling is very resentful and they, automatically there's a lot of negative feelings when you're being made to do something. So myself and another gentleman that I used to teach with, we knew that it was our responsibility to assist the employees when they were coming into this environment to be taught this training for 5 days, 8 hours a day for 5 days for 1 week. Our responsibility was to get rid of that feeling of negativity or the feeling, resentfulness when they were coming into this environment to be trained on process improvement. So we decided that we were going to have a theme. So every time a person would come in, like one theme we did was a Hawaiian theme, and we would put a lei on everybody walking through the door and say aloha, and the whole environment was decorated, Hawaiian style. And, I mean, we really did a great job on transforming the environment. Well, by the time it was all said and done, every single month though, the class would not want to leave Myanmar because of our understanding of, causing an environment or creating an environment that was conducive to harmony to get rid of that resentment and everything that the staff was feeling because they, had to go through this mandatory training. So I just wanted to share that because it brings back such awesome memories of how people did not want to leave me and Mark, at the end of the training. So I just wanted to share that.
Hey, so appreciate that, Lisa Scott. Such a great example. And while you were talking, you reminded me, it seems like I remember you telling us that part of what you do in some of your coaching is you help people get their lives organized. And I just wanted to throw out there, like, a simple thing of making your bed, right? Like, how do you feel, how much harmony do you feel when you walk into your room and your bed is messy versus the bed is made? Just a simple little thing like that, a little bit more organization seems to contribute to harmony. So I just wanted to throw that out there as kind of a crazy problem. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hi, Paul. This is Christy, Fort Lauderdale.
Hey, Christy. Good morning.
Good morning. I love this chapter because I am in a chorus of women. There's about 120 of us. And some rehearsals are wonderful. We sing in harmony. But if, like the man said, if there's any moment of discord creeping in because someone has a problem with something outside of the song or outside of the room, we don't sound as good, even though we're still all singing and we have the same voices. The atmosphere will change. And when we have a coach come in to coach our chorus, the atmosphere changes into one of harmony because everyone is focused, rooted on what that coach has to say, and they try their best to carry out what the coach is suggesting. And that's why we always want a coach. But what we're trying to learn is how to be in harmony even when there isn't a coach in the room, to have that coach inside our head so that we're all on the same page, on the same sheet of music, and blending in perfect harmony in our voices. And it's real hard work, and when it works great, and that's what we're all striving for in our businesses as well. And I just think this correlation with singing, which is a big part of my life, is just a wonderful metaphor for me. Thank you.
That is awesome and incredible that you can sense someone out of harmony just by what they're thinking or what they're feeling that's out of alignment with the group. That amazes me. Christy, thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Karen Elizabeth.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Paul, and good morning, Thinking Grow Rich family. The commenter before, I didn't catch her name. What was her name, Paul?
There was Lisa Scott and then Christy.
Christy, okay. Yes, Christy, very good point. That is amazing. I know that when I'm sensitive to harmonies in music, if I'm even observing music, listening, and I hear that out of tune, that out of harmony, it almost irks me. It's like, oh, and there's a painfulness because for me, harmony is the thing. You know, when I was younger, it was about like astrology. I don't really follow that really, but like the thing about being a Libra, you know, was like harmony. They liked harmony and like balance. And I just know that about myself. I love balance. So I'm in a room with a bunch of people and someone is saying something over here and I'm just going on to the other side going, okay, let's create this little other thing here to keep harmony. It's just an amazing thing that I feel is a gifting from God, something in me to do that. And I strive to do that with everything, with my children, with relationships. Even when I was growing up, that was something. So I believe that we all have that, really, that desire to have harmony. And what sometimes when we don't recognize the harmony, what happens in our body? You know, we have this, this it's called discord, right? Napoleon Hill would call it discord. And that discord is what will create a sickness in the body if it's allowed to last very long. So for us, the goal here, as he was saying, is, you know, definite chief aim and then go about having keeping harmony with yourself and the divine. And that's the connection there, is your harmony must be with the divine. And then everything else will fall into play, like when you're sitting, like you said, Paul. So I want to read this thing from the greatest salesman in the world. It just says, this day, I will live this day as if it is my last. And, you know, when we approach the day as if it's your last, you know how much value you will put into it, right? Every day should be that value. So for me, that's what I'm getting out of this today. It's just, you know, we want to live a life of value, of not urgency, but one of fulfillment, fullness. It says, and if it is my last, it will be the greatest monument. This day I will make the best day of my life. This day I will drink every minute to its full. I will savor its taste and give thanks. I will make it every hour count, and each minute I will trade only for something of value. And it goes on to say, I just wanted to share that because, you know, that is what this is about. When we're in harmony with the divine and we give ourselves fully to the day, we will remain in harmony. So, okay, back to you, Paul.
Love it, Karen Elizabeth. It's almost like life is a like an orange and we're like squeezing all of the juice, every last drop of delicious juice out of it, right, like during the day. I love it. Thank you so much. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Shirley Locks, you ready?
Hey, Shirley, let me clear the line for you. We're getting some feedback. Just one. Shirley, star 6, and come on out. Shirley, are you there? Star 6, come on out. All right, someone else while we're waiting for Shirley.
Okay, can you hear me?
Oh, there you are.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, good morning.
Okay,
yes.
I'm sorry. Okay, real quick, just besides starting my own leather business, my regular job part-time is keeping harmony. And how important it is. I work in a home where up to 10 women, that veterans that have become homeless, can come and live and try to get back on their feet. And they all have PTSD, and keeping harmony is really, really important. And like now, for instance, we have one staff who just is trying to, like, you know, just be too perfect and black and white. And, you know, there's shades of gray in life when you're dealing with people. And keeping the harmony is really important among the staff, to represent, you know, amongst the, you know, the residents there who have already personal problems. And so it's just really important. And I, like right now, you know, we can see that, you know, that it's causing chaos when you know, one person is, you know, like staff is really causing chaos, you know, because these other people are trying to find harmony, and it's really important. Anyway, I just wanted to show that. But, you know, it's like it's just really important to, you can go out of your way to recognize when you need to help share a little harmony. Anyways, back to you guys. Rock on, and, you know, have a great weekend. Thanks.
Shirley, you rock. Thank you so much. Appreciate you being here. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hi, Paul.
Josh Beck.
Hey, I heard the lady there right before the gentleman. Who's the lady?
It's Mahara.
Well, good morning, Mahara.
Hey, good morning. I'll just take a quick moment to throw out something that I think is so important, and it really has helped my life, and that is to be in harmony with your life, not just others and not just yourself and not just balance of beauty or looking a certain way or acting a certain way, but with every situation that you're in. And to be in harmony with the situation means that you recognize if anything ever happens and your mind is screaming no, then you're out of harmony with the reality of what is. So even if it's something like I got stuck in a 3-hour traffic jam with somebody very dear to me one time. And it's like, okay, I can sit here and think about the deadlines I'm missing. I can focus on how stressed out I am. I can fight against it in my mind and say, I can't believe this. I don't like this. This isn't how it's supposed to happen. I have to give myself peace by saying, I'm not in charge of this universe. And a power much more wise than I am has decided that I'm in this 3-hour traffic jam. Let me find a way to be at peace this moment. And that little mantra, let me find a way to be at peace with the fact that maybe it's cold, or maybe you're grumpy, or maybe you're not liking that you twisted your ankle, whatever it is, it's like if you can find a way to say, how can I go with the flow of this moment and see it for a gift, even if I'm not all hepped up about it? How can I accept, how can I harmonize with everything that comes at me? And that's like a Zen approach to life, and it makes a big difference in how things unfold for you. Back to you.
And just something to throw out there right on that topic for the group, might gratitude be one of the best tools for being able to do that, for being able to find peace with the moment, learning how to express gratitude for everything that's going on?
Exactly.
There was a guy coming out, Star 6. Was that Josh, did I hear? Who was that?
Bill Moist.
Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, everyone. This is really great material today. I wanted to comment on something you mentioned a couple of days ago. I didn't get a chance to call in that day. You were mentioning that people criticize you for saying that you talk. The only thing you ever talk about is money. And I've had the same criticism leveled against me by a dear friend from high school. And it really hurt my feelings, to be quite honest. But I read a book. I just finished reading a book this week that really changed my mind about that. And that was Dr. J.R. Brinkley's book about him called Making Them Believe. And it was co-authored by Dan Kennedy. At any rate, so Dr. Brinkley was practicing medicine in the early 1920s and 1930s. And he was a millionaire, making multiple millions of dollars in that time period when most doctors were making, I don't know what they made, $15,000 a year, I don't know. And he did a lot of things that they didn't do. For example, his main thing he focused on was men's sexual performance, and he would do a surgery, and he would implant a gland from a goat. And he had testimonies all over the country. He built hospitals. He had a radio show. And the AMA just crucified him. They said he's a quack. They continually wrote articles about how terrible he was. And his response was always, well, you know what? The establishment wants to keep you from something that's really good for you. Whatever reason, you know, so the AMA became the enemy. In fact, in the end of his career, he bought a radio station in Mexico, and he boosted the wattage to 1,000,000 watts. And he covered the entire United States with his broadcast, talking about his cures, and then he also did some stuff with the prostate problem. So he was obviously highly successful. He wouldn't have that many people come to him, but still the establishment was totally against him. The current way of thinking was totally against them. So now when I get criticized for quote just talking about money, which of course isn't true, instead of defending myself, I'm going to use Dr. Dyer says, which is, you know, you might be true. You know, that might be true, and then go on with your conversation. So for me, I'm not going to defend myself anymore. I'm just going to state what I believe. And if someone criticizes me for it, hey, that's okay. So back to you, Paul.
I love it. I love it. It's like being like water, like Bruce Lee. I love it, Bill. Thank you. Good stuff.
Paul Anthony from beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina.
Go ahead, Anthony. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Thinking Grover family. And what a beautiful chapter that we're covering on this very important principle of harmony. And I want to touch on something that Mahara said. Mahara said that, you know, it's real hard, and I'm paraphrasing, it's real hard to have harmony with anybody else if you don't first have harmony with yourself. We can't go out into the world expecting to give something that we don't have. And I know you would agree with that, Paul, because I know you heard it said it before. And, you know, this principle of harmony, you know, is really not just a principle that we just go over, but, you know, it runs our lives. It's everything. If you really think about it, it's everything. You know, our body is a perfect testimony of harmony. You know, it works in a certain way, you know, and if something happens with inside of the body that's out of harmony, you know, we get disease. So, I mean, this principle is, you know, and I believe this is why Dr. Hill, of course, laid it in the beginning and is, you know, hammering this point home of harmony in the mastermind group, because it is everything, really. It is everything, you know. So I just wanted to touch that. That's some of the things that jumped out to me. So I just wanted to cover that. Turn it back over to you, Paul. Everybody have a blessed Friday. Back to you, Paul.
Great thoughts. Thanks, Anthony. And there was a male voice trying to come out a couple callers ago. Who was that?
Josh Bayless.
Josh, hey, what's up, man? Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I was listening to the call today, and I was thinking about how I play guitar, and I know you're interested in playing guitar too, and that you're learning. And I'm a family man, so I like to relate things, you know, to relationships within my family and with my spouse. And I know that Dr. Napoleon Hill points out that it is vital for you to have harmony within your relationships. especially in marriage. And just like when you play guitar, you know, and when you're first starting out playing guitar and you've got a brand new guitar with brand new strings, you know, you can get that guitar and play it for a little while, and it's great. But then it starts getting out of tune. And unless you have tools to help you or somebody that's experienced in knowing how to tune that guitar to help you get it back in tune, you're going to start not wanting to play it as much, and you're not going to be as grateful for it, and you're going to neglect it, you know. And but then, you know, if you get a tuner, you know, and let's say that's, you know, a counselor, you know, to help you harmonize your relationship and get that guitar back in tune. But you're going to have to keep doing that. And after a while, you'll become seasoned enough that you'll be able to tune by ear. But it takes time, and it takes effort, and but it's worth it. It's worth it, you know, because once you get to that master level where you can tune your own guitar by ear, then your whole life is harmonized, and your spouse is happy because, you know, you guys are making beautiful music together. So that's just my thought. I thought it was a really good way to sort of explain harmonization. So I'll give it back to you, Paul.
Oh, man, that was so powerful, Josh. Amazing metaphor, a lot of meaning there. Thank you for that. Star 6, we've got about 4 minutes left. Anyone else want to jump out?
Hey, Paul. Lisa Wow.
Hey, Lisa. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Think Girl Rich family, and good morning, Paul. I just wanted to, in talking about harmony and the pleasantness of harmony, the one thing that I thought about immediately was making sure to make the decision to grow harmony and to eliminate the things that disintegrate harmony, which is what, you know, Dr. Napoleon Hill is talking about today. And here's what I mean. Many times, you know, even in myself, if there is a person who or in relationship that, say, it's an aunt, uncle, cousin or whatever, that is constantly, just like what Dr. Napoleon Hill talked about, nagging, or, you know, there's negative things. And sometimes we can just ignore it. But many times if we don't deal with those areas, even in our bodies, you know, the reason that there is pain in our bodies or difficulties in our bodies is because our body is trying to tell us the things that are in disharmony. So, and many times, sometimes we can choose to try to ignore those things instead of dealing with them and then deciding how to slowly eliminate them. And I have noticed that in my personal life, sometimes because I am such a positive person, because I believe in the goodness of people and the goodness of things, that sometimes when there is clear disharmony about something, whether it's my body, whether it's a person, I can tend to try to ignore it instead of dealing with whatever that issue is and seeking to eliminate it so that there is true harmony instead of disharmony that I am ignoring. Hopefully that sort of makes sense. Back to you, Paul.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, Lisa. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. We do have 2 minutes left. Anyone
it's
else
Paul,
want to jump
Larry
out here? Code. Larry, go for it, brother. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, I was as we were reading this morning, I was looking at they were talking about how important harmony is in companies. And I was thinking about when I had worked for a consulting company, we had 92,000 consultants in this company. And I would say that annually they probably spent tens of millions of dollars trying to create harmony within that company. And I can tell you that from my end of the perspective, I never really saw where that gelled out as being in harmony. And I think the main reason was is because the company was just so big, they were unwieldy. And I think it's very difficult to create harmony on a large scale like that, which I think is one of the reasons why small businesses do so much better, because you don't have to create the harmony across such a large scale. I've worked for companies with hundreds of thousands of employees, and I've worked with companies with 50 employees. And I can tell you that the harmony in the company with 50 employees is so much better than the harmony is in a company that has 100,000 employees. Back to you, Paul.
My controls are functioning strangely today. No, Larry, great insight, and I think, I know Dr. Hill would be in agreement with you, as he stated in the book, that very, very, very few people, A, understand the principle that we're learning about now, and then B, are able to apply it throughout groups of people. However, it has been done, right? It has been done. There are examples like Gandhi and others who have built huge groups of people who are organized and who are harmonizing, and it's just a great thing to know that that's something that we can shoot for. We can shoot for – this call is another example, right? We've got hundreds of people on this call all harmonizing around the principles of success, the science of achievement, the pillars of living a successful life, purpose, confidence, initiative, leadership, imagination, right? All the 15 laws that we're going to be learning here as we continue on in this book. And it's something that we can do, right? And so one thing that's really exciting to me, and then we'll just close this thing out, is that just the simple fact that we're hearing what we're hearing and we're learning what we're learning, every single person on this call will automatically, whether we know it or not, be tuned in now in our lives and in our businesses to this principle of harmony. We'll be tuned into looking for ways to develop more harmony within our relationships, and I believe that's going to benefit us all tremendously as we continue to step forward into our better futures. I love you guys. I know you've got greatness within you. I know we all have such great stuff waiting for us. Get out there. Have a great Friday. Take action. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you all back here Monday morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Thank you for being who you are. Bye for now.
Back on Mendes Healy sends blessings. Thank you, God. Bless the whole family. This extended family of Paul Hutchings. Lord, thank you that we've been adopted into the family. We can really give it away.
Freedom.
Give it away. Pass it on. Pay it forward. Thank you, God. Thank you, Grow Richer.
Great.
Thank you, Grow Richer.
Oh, so amazing.
Freedom.
Freedom is yours.
Freedom mine.
Sunny California. We said sunshine in our hearts, everybody.
Hey there, my friend. This is Paul Hutchings, and I want to thank you sincerely for listening to this week's edition of the Think and Grow Rich Call podcast. For more information on our community, to learn how you can listen to these calls daily and get the full panorama of all of the content and daily motivation and inspiration that we engage in, and to learn how you can connect with other like-minded entrepreneurs like yourself, feel free to visit our website, our home on the web at www.growrichaudios.com. Again, that's growrichaudios.com. And if you'd like to connect with me, feel free to visit my website, pipelinemoney.com. Again, that's www.pipelinemoney.com. Again, thanks for listening, and whatever you do, never give up on your dreams. Take care, and bye for now.